August 5th. Just see there on the board, and the color scheme doesn't mean anything. It's the black one stopped writing, so I changed colors there on those. But again, this is our sixth week, and we talk about being a child of God in our study of what it means or required to be a Christian. Those things, we talk about the different terms that Christians go by. First week was a child of God. We discussed being a believer, a disciple, a servant, a saint. And tonight, as you see on the top there, we're going to talk about being a pilgrim, a sojourner, or a stranger. And we'll define those terms and specify, because they have some little bit different meanings in those things. We'll talk about those things. Last week, again, we talked about being a saint. We talked about that word hagios, that Greek word, and the term it has, various meanings of it. We talked about how to be a saint, and that you're set apart. We talked about sanctification, and we talked about different ways of sanctification through the teachings of Calvin. We talked about that, what they teach, Wesley, and then we talked about what the Bible actually teaches on sanctification. So, anything on those? So, with that, we'll begin tonight's lesson. And if you turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, begin our lesson here. First Peter chapter 2, and someone read verse 11, please.
Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul.
Okay, we're here. These terms as strangers or pilgrims is what these Christians here are addressed as. Two of the terms that we have written on the board here for strangers or pilgrims. Again, sojourners. On several occasions, the New Testament uses the word stranger, uses sojourner and pilgrim. These are descriptive terms, again, talking about Christians, those who are disciples of Christ. For many of us, when you think about the word pilgrim, what do we think about? We think about those who came over here in 1620, I believe it was, through the Plymouth Colony and started that. That's when we hear the word pilgrim, when we're taught that, and we think of that. There. Again, we think about a lot of times the pilgrims that come over here and started the Plymouth Colony. Some associate it with the idea of a pilgrimage, the second word I have written there. We hear terms about men going to Mecca for this pilgrimage that they're going to do, vacation, but a journey to some distance. Usually it's a holy place. But neither of these words, the pilgrim we're used to, or pilgrimage, is quite the idea that the New Testament has. And we're going to talk about that through the rest of our lesson here. Again, with the pilgrims, they came to this continent and they made it their own. They planned to stay here and dwell here. And so that's one of the things that differentiates that. One who's on a pilgrimage, it's more of a journey, but it has a purpose, what they've been doing. But again, not necessarily the same as the New Testament. It's a journey for a purpose to do those things and visit those things for a set purpose. And again, as we mentioned here, to visit certain holy places that are deemed holy places, I should say, or holy lands. So what's a pilgrim or a stranger or a sojourner? We're talking through the New Testament and those things. The New Testament words for pilgrim, we're going to look at a few words here like we've been doing the past few weeks. And I'll go ahead and write these down while we're here. Block this off here. The Hebrew first. Two words. Now it's actually the same word. It's spelled differently. Ger, G-U-R, and G-E-R. And G-U-R is a verb meaning to sojourn. And the G-E-R is a noun meaning a sojourner. Let's talk about those for just a minute. Again, this is from the Hebrew. This is not the Greek words. And again, a lot of times the New Testament word, which we'll get to in just a minute, can't be understood well until we understand this one. This will help us understand a little bit better. Okay? But this first one, this Hebrew verb, G-U-R, ger, there means to sojourn. It means to, and again, it's a verb, it means to dwell for a certain period of time. The action of that, to dwell. To dwell as a newcomer. But again, that's more on the action, the dwelling part as a newcomer. One who has without original rights So when you get there, you don't have original rights. But again, it's just the verb portion of it with that. The noun, G-E-R, meaning sojourner, again, putting it on the person, is a temporary dweller, the person himself. He's a newcomer. He has no inherited rights. In the land he's in, he has no inherited rights in those things. These words are used to describe certain aspects. Let's turn to the Old Testament real quick. Turn to Genesis chapter 12 and verse 10. Of course, we're reading the English words here. But it talks about Abraham's stay in Egypt here. Verse 10. Now, there was a famine in the land, and so Abram went down to Egypt to sojourn there. Okay, the verb there, the G-U-R. For the famine was severe in the land. Okay, where he fled to escape, again, the effects of this famine in Canaan. He was not a citizen of Egypt, okay? So he was an alien residing in a foreign country. Turn over to Genesis chapter 19. Talking about Lot here. In verse 9. But they said, stand back. And they said, this fellow came to sojourn, and he has become the judge, that we would deal worse with him than with them. Again, these people recognized that he was a foreigner. He was a sojourner, okay? And they even recognized that he had no rights in that place he was at, and they recognized that. Turn over to Exodus chapter 12. This is talking about a non-citizen dwelling in a foreign country, okay? In this term of Israel here. Exodus chapter 12, verse 48, beginning. Provision was made here. If a stranger shall sojourn with you and would keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised, then he may come near and keep it. He shall be as a native of the land, but no uncircumcised person shall eat of it. There shall be one law for the native and for the stranger who sojourns among you. So there we're seeing those words, that G-U-R and the G-E-R for a sojourn. But the point of this is, they don't live there. This is not their land. Okay? They have no rights in that area that they're at. In contrast with our day and time, of course, people are getting ever more increasing rights who are sojourners or non-natives in our land. But if you go back to the beginnings of the Americas, and you didn't have any rights unless you were a citizen. And we see it in other countries. We go visit another country. We have no rights there. We're not citizens of that country. We don't live there. Okay, we're sojourning there. We're strangers there. Not necessarily pilgrims in that sense, but we are not members of their society there. Any questions about that so far? That's the Hebrew terms. I'm going to erase these real quick. So I have one for the Hebrew. And these I won't try to pronounce. I'm trying to spell for everybody, so. This is the word sojourner here. And xenos. Or xena, I guess would be the plural. And that's the word for foreigner. And we'll talk a little bit about that, if there's any difference in those two there. New Testament, again, moving on to the New Testament, has the same use, but of course different words. This first word at the top, again, I'm not going to try to pronounce it, but it means properly one who comes from a foreign country into a city or land to reside there by the side of the natives. Okay, he's going to reside there along with the natives by their side, but he's a stranger. He's sojourning in a strange place. He's a foreigner. Okay, that's that first word. Metaphorically, the New Testament, of course, in reference to heaven would be the native country. Our native country is heaven. The foreign country for us should be this earth, okay, in contrast to those things. Turn over to Acts chapter 2 and verse 10. The words used here to describe the Jews from Rome who reside in Jerusalem. Someone go ahead and when you get that, Acts 2 and verse 10.
And in the parts of Lydia above Cyrene,
Okay? They didn't live in that country. They were strangers in that land. They came from other areas, but they came there. But this is the word used here. Acts 17 and verse 21. This is going to denote the visitors to the city of Athens. It says in verse 21, "Now all the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there would spend their time in nothing except telling or hearing something new." So it groups them together here, but it still designates between those who were native to that land and those who were not. Okay, they were foreign to there. That's that first word again. The second word has similar definition. It's in a class of Greek words, dwelling near, neighboring. Talk about sojourner here. In the Scriptures, a stranger, a foreigner, one who lives in a place without the right of citizenship. Okay, they may live in Athens. That's where they reside. That's where they do their business. That's where they go to school. That's what they do. But they don't have any citizenship there. Okay, that sounds familiar to us nowadays. People live here without citizenship. Okay, so but they are a foreigner, sojourner, if you will, in that word, a foreigner. But it's used at the patriarch's journey in Canaan as well. Let's turn to Acts chapter 7. Again, they're traveling here, and the patriarchs are sojourning in Canaan. They're in a land that they have no citizenship in this land that they're traveling. Acts 7 and verse 6. "And God spoke to this effect, that his offspring would be sojourners in a land belonging to others who would enslave them and afflict them 400 years. Okay? They lived there. That's what they did. Of course, they were slaves there. But they were sojourners there. They had no rights there. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 9. "By faith, he went to live in a land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise." Again, for a time, in that land, a particular land, he was a sojourner there in that area. It was a foreign land to him. Acts chapter 13 back there. And verse 17. "The God of this people, Israel, chose our fathers and made the people great during their stay in the land of Egypt." Use the term here. Use during their stay in the land of Egypt. It's not their land. "And with uplifted arm, he led them out of it." Okay, they were sojourners there for a while in this area. They dwelt there, but they had no rights of citizenship in that area. Okay, any questions about that? We can understand what a stranger, a pilgrim, a sojourner is by thinking of a soldier, more in our terms. A soldier gets deployed and he has to go serve overseas for 2 years. He knows he has to be there for 2 years, but how often does he ever... He knows he's coming home. Okay, nothing goes wrong. He knows he's coming home. But they recognize that they're going to be in that country for a short period of time. They make little efforts sometimes. They don't learn their languages. They don't take time to learn the customs because they know they're there for a short period of time. That's kind of the point we're trying to get to, okay? They know they're there for a short period of time, but they don't take the time to learn its languages and customs or the people because they don't plan on being there. They're going to be there short, finite amount of time there. They do not try to establish themselves financially as far as those things besides the small time that they're there, but they don't have long-standing businesses they're going to try to build. They're leaving. They're not staying there. That's not their home. They're sojourners in its truest sense in that area. They count the days a lot of times till their tour is over. They can come home. That's a short period of time. They're sojourners. They're pilgrims in that area here. Ephesians chapter 2. This is the idea of, again, Peter says that Christians are pilgrims, as we read earlier, sojourners and strangers. But Ephesians chapter 2. Someone read verse 19.
"Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens of the saints and members of the household of God."
One commentator, I'll read his commentary about these verses. He says, Paul used the word xenos, and that's the third word that I wrote down here. Okay, this word for foreigner in this particular verse. Paul used the word xenos for foreigner. In every Greek city, there were xeni, or the plural there, foreigners. And their life was not easy. A man who was a stranger in a strange city but often write home that it is better for you to be in your homes, whatever they may be like, than to be in this strange land. Okay, this is what they would write. The foreigner was always regarded with suspicion and dislike. Paul used this other word, this second word, sojourner. That was one step further on beyond this xenos. Okay? To be the sojourner here, again, not a foreigner, but a sojourner, he was like a resident alien. He was a man who had come to stay in a place, but he never becomes a naturalized citizen. He lives there. Okay? He's not just passing through. He's going to live there as a resident alien, but he's going to stay there. He was a man who had come to stay in a place, but never become that citizen. He paid taxes for the rights or privilege to exist in that land, to live there, but this country, again, is not his own. He's a sojourner, this second word here. He might stay there and he might work there, but he was still a stranger. He's still an outsider whose home was somewhere else. Both this word xenos and the second word for sojourner have the same sufferings, but they're on the same area. Okay, but they're a little bit different. You all understand that difference there? Again, they're living there and they may pay a tax to that right to stay there, but they're always under suspicion. They're never given full rights or accepted really into the area. With that, let's move on with our lesson a little bit, and we're going to talk about how our citizenship is in heaven. Okay, make application. Our true citizenship of the Christian is not citizenship in this earthly kingdom, but citizenship, again, is this eternal kingdom, this place called heaven. Someone turn to Philippians chapter 3. Actually, let's all turn there. Philippians chapter 3. And verse 20 reads to us, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." So we're told specifically, of course, where our citizenship is. We're not citizens of this earth. We shouldn't be. We shouldn't be making, staying here and making all these big plans. We don't want to be here. We're sojourners here in this area here. We're strangers and sojourners on this earth. We're resident aliens. We're non-citizens. That's what we should be. What our thoughts should be. We're non-citizens here. Jacob described his life as a pilgrimage. Genesis chapter 47 and verse 9. Let's read that. And again, hope that this lesson, when we have those words written in the Bible, we're addressed, Christians are addressed as sojourners. We have a deeper appreciation of how we should be, our mindset should be. Genesis 47 and verse 9. "And Jacob said to Pharaoh, 'The days of the years of my sojourning are 130 years. Few and evil have been the days of the years of my life, and they have not attained to the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their sojourning.'" So it was an ongoing process that he recognized he was not there permanently. He was sojourning in that area. Turn back over to Hebrews chapter 11. Again, the sojourning of the patriarchs. Let's read again at verse 8. 8 through 16, we'll read here. "By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place where he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she had passed the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven, and as many of the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city." Again, the point is, they recognized that they were not of this earth. They had better things, a different home that they were from. We who are Christians, again, must develop the same attitude in our lives that they had. Verse 14 again. "For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland." We've got to make that our purpose in all things. We're strangers, and again, we're sojourners, and our citizenship is in heaven. Okay? And we'll read the words to one of the songs that we often sing. We sing, "This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then, Lord, what will I do?" Again, the angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. And that's the way we really should be every day of our lives and things we do. Let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. Again, kind of a lengthy read here, but I want to read through it. Right here, a new idea. Again, this is about the citizenship being available to all. Okay, new idea for the New Testament age was all men could be citizens in the Lord's kingdom. Ephesians chapter 2, let's begin at verse 11. "Therefore remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at the time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus you were once who were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who are far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." And those are wonderful words there. That pertains to us. We are Gentiles in those things. But again, through Christ, Gentiles are made part of this kingdom. We're not second-class citizens in the kingdom, but we participate with full citizenship rights. Okay, even though we're not heaven just yet. But we have all those rights. As you contrast that with the definition of sojourner, someone who lives there but has no rights. So the gospel provides the citizenship to all mankind. So what's the effects on our lives? And look at a couple of things here. When one recognizes himself to be a pilgrim or a sojourner, our attitude and dispositions toward this life should change. Because our attitude should change. This is not our home. We're looking for something else. We talked about that soldier who was overseas on tour duty 2 years. He's not staying there. He has a different mindset than anyone who's from that country, wherever he lives, whether it may be Germany or wherever it may be. It's a different mindset. He's just there for a short period of time.
The first thing is that we're set our minds.
On heavenly things. Turn over to Colossians chapter 3. We have this mindset. We're going to set our minds on heavenly things because, again, our citizenship is not is actually in heaven. It's not here on this earth. And we'll set our affections on those things. Someone please read Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2.
"Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, for Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth."
So, when we keep these things in perspective, how many goods we collect here, how many things, physical things we collect here on this earth are no longer important here. We hear the term keep up the Joneses all the time. And that's no longer important to us. It shouldn't be. Keep those things out of our mind. Doesn't really matter. At the end of the day, nothing really matters besides how we're living and keeping heaven as our goal. We're not concerned. Again, the example is given about that soldier who's overseas. Do you think he cares about keeping up the latest fashions and trends while he's over there? He doesn't care. He's there for a certain part of time. What's more important is being sure that we make heaven our citizenship, our home. Turn over to Psalms chapter 119. Two verses here. Someone please read verse 54 of Psalms 119 and keep your finger there.
"Blessed is the man
statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage.
Okay. Here David realizes he's been on this pilgrimage. But yes, he recognizes God's statutes have been like songs to him, been his songs to him, his refuge in those things, gave him pleasure. Good thoughts in those things. Someone read verse 19. Same chapter. I'm not a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. Realize, here on this earth, I'm a stranger. I need your commandments. Don't hide those things from me. I need your commandments and those things.
The second thing, again, is we set our mind on what our goal is, and that's to avoid certain things. And there's positive things, too. I know it's a negative term,
but there's positives as well. We've talked about things in the past, but we will avoid any entanglement that might hamper us from our heavenly home. Someone read 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4.
No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of his life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier.
Then go. And there's only one. Ultimately, it is what? And that's reaching heaven.
Everything we do here is toward that right there. Is it not? Everything we do. And so that's our goal. So we set our mind on those things and avoid other things. Again, we've got to set our mind as reaching heaven is life's most important goal. Ultimately, it is the only goal. We'll do nothing that interferes with attaining that goal. And it's displayed. We see a lot in worldly people who seek some earthly goal. You see a lot of people, those things. The story was given once of a movie star, and this is not good advice I'm about to give you, but it makes the point of the story. Asked a movie star one time, what's it going to take to be, I want to be famous, I want to be a movie star. And so the advice was given, well, you need to move, first of all, to a city, you know, Hollywood, New York, somewhere, where people do those things. So you got to move there, first of all. But you got to eat. Find the best job you can that makes the most money, they was told. But every chance you have a chance to go and do a spot for a commercial, what may be, no matter how small it is, if it interferes with your job, forget the job, you go take this role. Because you never know when you're going to be discovered. So here they are in this, whatever city it might be, they have to eat. Yet they were told to forget the money, you don't know how small this part, someone may discover you. Now that's not good advice, but the point is, they made their ultimate goal, I'm going to make it as a movie star, I'm going to be an actor, actress, whatever it may be. I want to do whatever it takes to obtain that. If it means I don't get to eat for a while, quitting a good job or this and that. So again, they realized where their goal was, but their goal wasn't set on heaven. Okay. And the same thing you can kind of see. We should drop everything we have to obtain this one and only goal, and that is reaching heaven. Having this attitude makes many of our life decisions easier. When looking for a job, again, you know, how will this job affect my being a Christian? Will I be in a wholesome atmosphere and so forth? Can I handle temptations that may be encountered with this job? We've heard the story before of someone who gets offered a job in an area where no church exists. You know, again, what's your main goal? But then we have other examples, and I'll point out to the Stars who used to be here. They moved to Boston. I believe there was a very, very small congregation there. So what was their goal? To build that congregation, okay? If I understood him correctly, they're from Rhode Island. There was only one congregation in all the state of Rhode Island. One. And so the point is, they may have moved to an area where there was little church there, if you will. But what was their goal? To build and do those things. So they had their mindset on heaven and things to do the right things. I'll close by reading another word to us. Any questions or comments, by the way? I'm going to close here, again, reading some words from one of the songs that we sing. Here we are but straying pilgrims. Here we are but straying pilgrims. Here our path is often dim. But to cheer us on a journey, still we sing this wayside hymn. And I'll skip the chorus for now. Here our feet are often weary on the hills that thrown our way. Here the tempest darkly gathers, but our hearts within us say. Here our souls are often fearful of the pilgrim's lurking foe. But the Lord is our defender, and He tells us we may know. And in the course, yonder over the rolling river, where the shining mansions rise, soon will be our home forever. And the smile of the blessed giver gladdens all our longing eyes. That's our lesson for tonight. Any questions or comments about that? Next week, we'll talk about being a steward. Thank you all.